these different ways. Is that just saying that when citta is vijnana khanda, is that enough?
Or
yes.
Our ignorance.
You were going to ask more about khandas.
Pardon?
You were going to mention more about khandas, or Jonathan was.
Can we say that classifying dhammas as khandas, as dhatus, as ayatanas, is the way of presentation, or can we say it's an aspect of...
Just helping the listeners to understand better and better. For example, about Rupa Khanda, it's the reality that cannot experience anything at all. It arises, it's past, fusion, present, it's coarse or refined, inside or external or internal. See, just to help people to really understand that it's not anybody.
So when all rupas are one khanda, as opposed to the other classifications, they are different. Classified, then it helps us to understand that all rupas have this in common, have something in common,
and
regardless of which
that
story.
Can be known by direct awareness too. Otherwise it's only words about the refined and the coarse. Without awareness, the characteristic which is the coarse rupa and the refined rupa cannot appear to panya. That is just that. No matter it's coarse or refined, it's just Rupa Khanda, or just Rupa.
So when we say coarse or fine, what is meant by coarse or fine?
No matter it's so hard, like it under the foot, or soft as somewhere here, see?
Yeah.
Since they are different, no matter how different it is, it's Khanda, or Rupa Khanda, or just Rupa.
So elements, what do we mean by elements?
Like Dhamma or Dhatu, exactly the same meaning. When Buddha used the term Dhamma, Dhamma is Dhatu. By way of Dhatu, people might have some understanding that it's uncontrollable, it doesn't belong to anyone at all. But by Dhamma, maybe people got mixed by what Dhamma is. But when it's an just element, some might get the idea of what element is. So any word can do.
Unclear on element.
Dhamma? Are you clear?
Dhamma, when,
when
you say Dhamma is Dhatu, I'm not understanding.
Just Dhamma.
Well, Dhamma is Nama and Rupa.
So just keep Dhamma. No matter thinking about Dhatu. But someone might understand by way of Dhatu. Like hardness, it's Dhatu. They can get it. But when you say hardness is Dhamma, they might not get it.
And you can say hardness is Khanda.
Because no matter it's coarse or fine, it's just rupa, which cannot know anything at all.
And ayatana, it's also ayatana.
Yeah. Oh, don't confuse me. I think it's just the words, perhaps, that confuse
Who
me.
Who knows what's going on while one is fast asleep? See, nothing appears. No sound, no visible object at all. But how can this come to appear? Like visible object, see, it's so hard. If there's no conditions for its appearing, it's impossible for any moment of visible object to appear. But since there is the eye base and visible object which can impinge just on the eye base only, not on the ear base, so at the moment when it appears, the developed panya can understand what is meant by ayatana, because chakku, the eye's base is ayatana, and the visible object is ayatana, and they have to be there, the meeting point, the moment of experiencing it. So one can understand the meaning of ayatana. but not just by reading. When there is awareness, the rupa does not appear, and how come it appear? There must be ayatana, and one begins to understand conditions for any moment which experience object. But Buddha knew more than that, because he could tell us what happens while one is fast asleep.
Ajahn used to say that, you know, when things appear, rupa appear through your eye senses, it's not Ajahn, for me, Samadha.
Right, right. Because we are used to see, we do not have any understanding of how it comes to see. When while one is fast asleep, nothing appear. And then sound, how come? For sound to appear without the ear base, without the sound which hasn't fallen away yet, that can condition hearing. And when sound appears, one doesn't think about hearing at all. One just pay attention to sound, not knowing anything about reality at that moment as not self. Sound is sound and hearing just hears. Without hearing, there can never be sound appearing at all. So each moment is conditioned, but when there is no understanding, okay, it's just very common.
Yeah, it's very common, okay. Very normal for me to see, but for her, seeing is amazing. But for me, seeing is very ordinary, very normal.
I think she means when you think about it, it's amazing. I don't think she means that
she
sees it as amazing.
But it can be direct understanding with awareness.
Hmm.
Otherwise, it's only just thinking about it. So many people think that Buddha taught according to his contemplation or considering it only. But actually, he taught according to the realities, the true nature of realities. But by understanding better and better, he can see what's there. As pachya as well. How many pachyas for just one moment of seeing? Yeah. How many cetasikas are there? And how many cetasikas are more when it's not that moment? See?
That's why it's amazing. Not
just normal. To know everything.
Yeah. Combinations. Just
is this the mei mei la mei la
mei? Right. Yeah. Because there must be pavangas. The object does not appear to pavanga moments. And then after that, it appears. So we can understand the meaning of ayatana. It's not just the sound, but it has to be the ear base which hasn't fallen away yet.
Does it mean there has to be a combination?
Combination?
By thinking. Not only one dhamma.
There are different ones.
Yes. Okay, but there has to be a number of dhammas occurring in order for sound to appear. And they have to occur in a certain manner.
Is the main one
vipaka-pachya? When one think about the vipaka-pachya, it is the citta which is vipaka-pachya of the cetasikas which are vipaka-pachya. And the cetasikas which are vipaka-pachya is vipaka-pachya of the citta which is vipaka.
On the what you mention about, which you often mention about the bhavanga cittas, because the object never appears because it's outdoor, the outside the processes of cittas, and so the object never appears, is never experienced by jhavana cittas. But so when you say no object and then the object appears.
There is object.
There is object.
Because pavanga citta must experience an object. Each citta.
But what I mean is, it experiences an object, but the object is never appears to the
jhavana jhitas in the...
At that moment there is no jhavana.
No.
Yeah.
But it never appears.
But one knows that there are two different kinds of jhitas. One which can experience object even not through any doorway at all.
Mm-hmm.
And these are moment of birth consciousness, bhavanga consciousness, and jutti consciousness.
But when you say, okay, no object appearing, and then object appearing, the mai mi, lao mi,
nao ha
mi mai, it means because the object of bhavanga cittas can never, is never known or never experienced.
Because it's the moment when citta can experience object without any doorway.
Right. And so this is the reason why it seems like there's no object.
No citta either. While one is fast asleep, who knows that there is citta?
Right.
Yeah.
Bhavanga is vipaka, so it just has seven jhitasikas arising.
No, no, it's not the ten. Only the ten vipakas have
seven.
So
what are the
seven?
The that seven arise with the vipaka of, say, seeing consciousness. There's only seven.
Smelling, tasting, touching.
So, but Bhavanga has more jhitasikas.
Right. Even so, the object doesn't appear, because whatever can appear is only through one doorway, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, or mind door.
Appear to who?
To citta.
Ah, who?
No who? Citta
no,
experiences anything.
So when you say, oh, there's nothing, you mean it just seems like there's nothing that when the bhavanga cittas, right?
If Buddha didn't tell us, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
We can know that there must be citta because that person is not dead yet. That's
right.
All.
Right.
People will always ask, who can experience the object of bhavanga citta? I think nobody, but the Buddha was different.
Right. Right. Yes.
The Buddha was different.
That's why he could teach anything.
Yeah. Otherwise not Buddha.
Yeah. But the arahats, no.
And can I just ask one last very quick question about pasa cittasika? People often think that the way it is, pasa is talked about in the suttas and the Abhidharma is different. Anytime one reads pasa in the suttas, it's referring to pasa cittasika in the same way. So for example, when we read about the coming together of seeing and visible object, is this referring to pasa cittasika accompanying seeing, or is it just referring to a conventional,
conventional
idea? It's referring to pasa cittasika.
Yeah, because it accompanies each citta.
Right. And whenever we talk about, we refer to when visible object impinges on the consciousness, it just means experienced by seeing, accompanied by pasa.
The rupa cannot do anything. It has no intention. Even when it impinges on the eye base, it's by conditions for vipaka to arise. Because there are sounds somewhere, and when it's not time for vipaka to hear it, there's no hearing. So no intention for rupa to impinge.
Any reference to pasa or contact or coming together is always to pasa cittasika.
Without pasa, citta cannot experience any object at all.
People often think from the terminology, it seems like the way contact is used in Abhidharma and suttas is different.
Yeah. Because they don't understand the pasa cittasika. But when they understand the characteristic and the function of pasa, they know that without pasa cittasika, citta cannot experience any object. That's why pasa is ahara pachya.
Ahara.
Pachya.
Nutrition.
Ahara.
Which is ahara?
Ahara. For ahara pachya. Four kinds of ahara.
Yeah, four kinds. One physical, three mental.